It doesn't get better than this. Thanks. That's more grammatically correct there, poison. Anyhow, I know, right? Of all the things to throw shade at, it's that, right?
Yeah.
So anyhow, welcome to Fourth and Frames, everybody. I'm your host, Jorge Edwards. We are the Fantasy Football Podcast for fantasyandframes.com. And today we got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be doing rather our rookie evaluations, talking about rookie wide receivers, their landing spots, their fantasy values from a redraft and dynasty perspective. And of course, I'm sure a lot of you have heard over the past few days, Scott Fish has been very generous in offering certain people an opportunity to give away an entry to Scott Fishbowl, specifically Scott Fishbowl 11. And we were just happened to be so lucky to receive that. So of course, today we are going to be giving away a Scott Fishbowl entry. And of course, we have been marketing all week since Sunday. How do you get in? You registered for the 4i championships. If you're not already in Scott Fishbowl, your name is in a drawing. We're going to do a couple, three races today using 100yardrush.com to help determine who gets that Scott Fishbowl ticket. So before we get into that, let me go around the frames and just introduce everybody. Teddy Ricketson, how are you doing today?
Doing well, man. We're on a new night, and I'm sporting a brand new T-shirt from old Meg Reyes on Twitter. Thought it was very appropriate with everything going on in the world. So love that my wife got it for me, and you can pick them up at her Twitter account.
Meg Reyes. All right. Go pick up those T-shirts, folks. Mm-hmm. Brian Ford, how are you doing there?
Doing well. Been super busy lately, but excited to talk about wide receivers. We could do like three episodes on wide receivers. It's that deep. So I'm definitely looking forward to this.
Nice. And of course, rejoining us now on a weekly basis. He's been gone for a bit, but we're glad to have him back here on Fantasy and Frames and on Fourth and Frames, Mr. Nate Markham. Man, it's great having you back, man.
And I'm hyped. Yeah, poison playing. I got my badass bookshelf behind me. It's not real.
It is 100% real.
It is fantastic. I am 100% excited to get going. I hope I keep this level of amped up. Unfortunately, I'm already getting exhausted from this exertion. Got to ease myself back in. Can't go from 0 to 60. Got to slow it up.
You've been away too long. You forgot about
you gotta pace yourself.
The injury. Yeah.
You got to pace yourself. You got to have multiple cans of Mountain Dew.
In baseball talk, it's the year of soft tissue injury. And unfortunately, I think I've already pulled a couple hammies and, come up lame, but I'll make it through. I'll fight. Nice.
There you go.
It's football. Very nice.
Okay. So as you all know, who've been watching here, watching us on Fourth and Frames and listening to us on Fourth and Frames, we're coming to you on a Wednesday. We're switching to Wednesdays now instead of Thursdays. So congratulations to us for doing that. Congratulations to you because you get extra days to watch us and listen to us. Podcasts go out on Thursdays now, wherever you listen to podcasts. And as you also know, we don't really like to waste too much time. So let's just get right into it. Let's give you the information you need to know so that you can then, get out of here and, have a life. So let's get ready to talk about rookie wide receivers. Let's do our evaluations, guys. Let's start with the first question. And I know this is like a pretty blanket, obvious, open-ended question, but which wide receiver found himself in the best landing spot, Teddy?
If his quarterback can stay upright, it's going to be Ja'Marr Chase. And that has been the meme, and that has been the discussion for what the Bengals should have done at the number 5 pick. And the reason I say that is because, yes, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd are going to have fantasy value. But with Joe Burrow recovering, he was on record in the media saying that he specifically asked for Ja'Marr Chase. And, I mean, when your quarterback, from the school that you went to, asks for you to come to the NFL, there's some rapport there and there's some confidence. So if the other people they have brought in to, shore up their offensive line can keep Joe Burrow upright, you got to go with Ja'Marr Chase.
What about you, Nate? Let's get your analysis on this.
Yeah, I mean, long-term especially, it is. I mean, high-powered offense. He inherits, even if he just takes A.J. Brown's lost targets.
Green.
A.J. Brown, A.J. Green. You know what? I'm sorry.
A.J. Brown. You're shaking the rust off.
No, but yeah, I mean, it is. It's 104 vacated targets by A.J. Green. And again, like you said, Teddy, obviously the key is for Burrow to stay upright, but I don't think that defense got much better. So I think that they're going to be behind in games. I still think they're going to be passing a lot. And I mean, you have realistically, I think the most talented and a great landing spot. So I got to agree with you. I think it's Jamar. But take a little bit of time, though. Him missing a whole year, I wonder if it's going to be, you know, week two, three, four before he really starts getting going.
What about you, Brian?
Well, you know, it'd be boring if I just agreed and said Chase. I do believe that that is probably the case. You know, he's I'm looking at my list here, and he's tied to probably the best pure passer of the group that we're looking at. And they were on pace before Burrow got injured. They were on pace for 646 pass attempts, I think, which would have put them second behind the Steelers. So there's probably going to be enough volume to go around when it comes to him, Boyd, and Higgins. But just to be a little different, I'm also going to make it the case, I think, for Devonta Smith as far as a good landing spot. He does not have the competition for targets, really, that Chase does. He's really walks into a number one wide receiver role. Rieger and Goddard, really the only people competing with him for targets. Should see a lot of volume with the Eagles playing from behind, too. So he would be an honorable mention for me.
He's actually my number one, Devonta Smith. And you mentioned it right there, Eagles playing from behind. Let me just rattle off for you a couple stats here. In terms of quarterbacks last year, their intended air yards per pass attempt, so basically how far they were planning to throw the ball, how far they actually threw the ball downfield per pass attempt, whether it was a completion or not. The point is that they're taking shots downfield. You want these big plays. You want the extra yardage for your wide receivers. Out of all the wide receivers, let me just quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts, 9.1, okay? Lamar Jackson, 8.6 yards. Joe Burrow, 8.5, so pretty good. Kyler Murray, 7.8. Tua, 7.5. Daniel Jones, 7.1. Only Jalen Hurts is like throwing through the sticks. He's the only one who I really see him consistently trying to, you know, keep these drives going on offense. You know, his scrambling helps with that. And more time he's on the field means more time the Eagles offense is on the field, which means more time for Devonta Smith to get those receptions and get those long passes. But I do want to say Rashad Bateman, he's a close second for me. Third, excuse me. Obviously, Jamar Chase has the, you know, all the, everything you just said about Jamar Chase is, you know, reason enough. But Lamar Jackson, he gets a lot of, you know, a lot of crap about, you know, like, oh, he's not a good passer. He can't do this, can't do that. Well, he takes shots downfield. It's not like he doesn't take shots downfield. He just hasn't had the weaponry to actually do anything with it. And now you get Rashad Bateman. Who's he competing with? Sammy Watkins? Can you guarantee me Sammy Watkins is playing a full 17 games late this season? Because, no. I mean, you'd be the first person ever to do that in recent memory. So give me Devonta Smith followed by Jamar Chase, and do not overlook Rashad Bateman in Baltimore for that, at least for my opinion. Mm-hmm. All right. It'd be teasing if we just drag this on, you know, but we're going to drag it on slightly. So we're going to do our first heap of people who are going to qualify for a potential opportunity to win a Scott Fishbowl ticket. Okay. And so let me just show you all how this is.
If you're listening on the podcast, this part's going to get really confusing. So we'll try to keep paint a picture of what's happening.
Stuff is being. I will do the play by play, Kentucky Derby style, if we need to liven this up. I have been practicing.
There you go.
All right, so I'm going to attempt to not screw up this StreamYard thing by sharing my screen. So let me go over here. Screen shared. And let me take off this. Okay. So in the first heat, in the first race, we're going to have all these individuals. Their names are all participants in the 4i Championships, our charity tournament. And these are all individuals who we believe do not already have a Scott Fishbowl entry. And so how does this work? Basically, we enter all your names into here. You all are lined up, you know, right around here. Mm-hmm. And basically, these guys just run. So whichever name gets to the other end zone first, you got your 100 yards. You advance to the next round here at Fantasy and Frames, here on Fourth and Frames, in order to determine who wins a Scott Fishbowl ticket. So let's stop teasing. Hold on. We got a comment here before we get going here. Let's
hope it's someone wanting to make bets.
Hey, Wyatt. There, Wyatt.
Wyatt, how you doing, Wyatt?
Hey, Wyatt.
Okay.
You know, so Kike Hernandez already has a World Series ring. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Do they really need to be into Scott Fishbowl? I don't know about
that. Yeah.
Not to mention Marty Smith. Is this like Marty Smith Does America from ESPN? Because that would be really cool if he wanted an entry.
I mean, Dave Ibrahim was enough of chaos during our Sunday morning live streams during the season. He should probably get booted.
And Daryl Winstead from IDP Guys, great guy, great IDP mind. So a lot of good names, a lot of cool names. You know, a lot of people who are new to fantasy football, a lot of people who just haven't gotten invites. So let's just get this first heat underway. Going to go here.
You have such a good group of people. I love so many of these people that I have so many different rooting interests. I feel bad.
No, I hear you.
Oh, come on. I'm excited. Let's go.
I'm so excited. I have nothing to gain from this other than excitement. So let's do it.
I think I'm going to pull for Kayla because that's probably a woman's name, and we need to have more women in fantasy.
We do.
So.
There you go.
More female representation in sports. Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right.
Well, Kurt Brown's a woman, so he's not listening. He's at this kid's soccer practice, so he'll check in.
Okay. Right, moving on. All right. So –
we're gonna
use this before. Do I hit random right here?
Let's shuffle three times.
So I was gonna say three as well. So let's do that.
Two and three. The horses are in there. Ooh, Kiki in Kiki on top.
Kiki on top. Kayla right there in the middle.
All right.
Kyle, Kayla on the outside, Nathan Davis. Went to high school with the Nathan Davis. I don't know if the same person or not.
David Ibrahim, Aaron Pags, Doug. Okay, let's find out what happens next.
And I've never watched one of these.
This is wonderful.
All right. Scott did this. I've done a few of these.
No adjustments made it, therefore nobody getting any sort of favoritism here. So it's legit, there you go. Impartial.
My Venmo is open at Nate.
You have 5 seconds.
All right. Let's do this really here. Nate, does this look good to you? The settings I got going on here.
Yep, I would do faster on the speed. We don't need to be here all night.
That's a good point. Fair. Faster. All right, so that's good.
Yep.
We have
the horse
and start rush.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. Right.
Is that good luck, everyone?
3, 2, 1.
Kiki just jumping out to it. Look at Kurt Brown. Jason's going. Marty's coming up here. Casper Dryer.
God, it's coming out of the wire.
Marty Smith.
Kiki, you blew it. Kiki ended up in fifth.
Let's write it. So, for all intents and purposes, we're going to write down the top three finishers just in case one of the first or second place finishers is already in. We don't want to eliminate
right there for you.
Yeah. So,
all right. So, Marty, we're just going to keep the screen going for you all who are watching right now, just so we can write down said names.
At this point, with two heats, Marty, you were going to advance to the championship. And then if you and whoever else runs, if one of you or whoever wins has, or both of you, I guess, has a Scott Fishbowl spot, we will kind of work down the list. But for now, Marty, you are in the finals for a Scott Fishbowl spot. Congratulations.
Very nice. All right.
So let me just
Oklahoma Doug in 25th. Oh, Doug.
Kayla is 23rd.
Doug the whole way down. Kayla.
Let's do this.
We had such good times.
It was a good time. It was a good time. Good effort.
That was, man, fast is fast too. I almost feel like I don't want to say it was too fast, but that was quick.
I was almost too furious. Yeah.
It was crazy. It's fun though. I like this all night long.
Too furious.
How this hasn't turned into a straight betting situation for me and my derelict friends is beyond me.
There you go. Nice. Don't worry, everybody. We'll get everybody kind of situated here on the layout. Once Jorge gets the names written down, we'll be all pretty. And then we'll talk about wide receivers and do our second heat here in a little bit.
All right. Well, let's get back to rookie evaluations, talking about rookie wide receivers, their landing spots, and fantasy values going forward. Brian, let's start with you.
Okay.
You know, there are two ways to look at wide receiver performance this year. the people who are going to make an immediate impact and the people who are going to likely come on strong down the stretch. Out of all the wide receivers, rookie wide receivers, that is, that were drafted this year, who just screams immediate impact to you?
I don't know about scream, but I'm going to order off the menu a little bit and go with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Doesn't have the draft capital that some of the other folks have that we've talked about tonight. But if you're not going to look at Smith or Chase, you know, he's a guy who's probably already the number one wide receiver on his team. You know, as far as the cast of characters they have there in Detroit. So I think, you know, Goff doesn't chuck it downfield much, but they are going to be passing. They are going to be playing from behind. Not too much competition for targets. He, I think, is a sneaky choice for having impact early on.
All right, Teddy, what about you?
Yeah, so I think it's my initial answer is going to depend on if Jameson Crowder is on the Jets. If he is not, I think that Elijah Moore kind of walks into playing time and a perfect role for what his assets are, you know, what he kind of got drafted from. Let's say Jameson Crowder somehow survives on the Jets roster, even though he is a perfect cap casualty. I'd probably say, looking at the list of wide receivers, I don't want to take Devonta Smith because you made really good points about him. I'm going to go Jaylen Waddle, mainly because he reunites with his college quarterback. And apparently, I just really like when wide receivers reunite with their college quarterbacks in the pros. But, you know, he reunites with Tua. And then when it comes to, like, the Miami Dolphins' other receivers, yes, they have Will Fuller. Now, yes, they still have Devontae Parker. But I think there's still a role that Jalen's going to be able to carve out. And I don't think that with what they haven't addressed in the running back game, I think that, you know, there's still going to be a role for him in the offense. Now, maybe not the, you know, not going to win you your fantasy matchup every week, but I think on a points per game basis, I think he'll be consistent.
What about you, Nate, to round us off for people who are going to have an immediate impact?
I got to say, both two perfect examples. I mean, Devontae Smith is kind of the low-hanging fruit when it comes to the points that we discussed earlier. You know, Jalen Reagor is the only I'd say he's not – it's not even just Jalen Reagor. Last year, 79 targets led the Eagles. You know who that was? Greg Ward. Now, that is not exactly competition that I'm too concerned with. You eliminate potentially – we're talking again this hypotheticals with Jameson Crowder being gone. Love that spot there. But, you know, if Zach Ertz is gone, there's another handful of targets that are missing in Philly. And as we see the evolution, hopefully, of Jalen Hurts, I think that we could envision a situation where from day one or game one, Devonta Smith comes in and takes over immediately as the number one there. Not out far outside the realm of possibilities.
You know, you all stole pretty much everybody who I was going to talk about as far as an immediate impact. So let's get into, you know, the players who could make a second half resurgence. And I'm going to go off the reservation a little bit, and I'm going to go down to Arizona, and I'm going to talk about Rondale Moore. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many mouths to feed in that receiving core. You know, A.J. Green's there, obviously, DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk. But I don't know off the top of my head whether or not Christian Kirk is going to be moving back into the slot and A.J. Green and DeAndre Hopkins are on the outside. But I can't really anticipate A.J. Green staying healthy a whole season. And I know I'm not trying to wish ill will on anybody. It's just I don't see him being that productive. I see him as a big name who went to Arizona, who got paired up with a high-powered offense, and everybody's assuming, yeah, you know, this is going to work. This is going to be amazing. I'm like, is it going to be amazing? I mean, look at what he did last year in this Bengals offense, and they had a pretty good passing game, and he didn't exactly do much, and he was the incumbent person there. So I could see it. I could make a case for Rondale Moore being somebody who could have definite opportunity to do something, definitely could have the target volume there in Arizona. Whether or not that translates into something, that's, you know, a different story. But I could definitely see him having a second half resurgence. Brian, what about you?
Yeah, it's a tough one really for me to think about. I think in some sense, there's a lot of choices here because rookie wide receivers usually take a little while to develop relative to running backs. But I think Terrace Marshall or Rashad Bateman, are good candidates. I think Terrace Marshall has a role to play on the outside, probably move DJ Moore into the slot there in Carolina. And I think he can develop a rapport with Darnold and probably contribute as the season goes on. And I think we were talking before the show a little bit about Bateman, how the passing volume might not be there as far as team total attempts goes. But he's somebody who is probably going to be the wide receiver one. And once Lamar has some rapport with him and some confidence in him, I could see him emerging, you know, and contributing as the season goes on. I think there's a lot of candidates for this question is the short answer.
Mm-hmm. Nate, you agree with all that?
Exactly. I mean, I agree with every bit of that because, like you said, development takes time. Trust takes time from the quarterback. So you have to either earn that trust or, you know, outproduce your teammates and your competition. And that's, like you said, with Rashad Bateman. I think Bateman is, in my opinion, the best receiver on that team. And it's going to take a little bit of time to instill that trust from Lamar. But once he does, those 100 targets that Hollywood had last year, I could see a decent percentage of those going the way of Rashad Bateman. And I mean, he did, you know, if you look at like his college dominator rating and his breakout age, he fits in that mold of that, you know, 30% or greater dominator rating and that under 20 breakout. And I mean, there's a lot of them in this class, it seems, this year, but he really peaks high. And I think he would be, if he landed in Philly or he landed in Detroit or one of those landing spots, I think he might be all of our consensus, you know, immediate from the beginning and potentially number one throughout the season. No offense to Ja'Marr Chase, but that would be a great spot.
Teddy, let me ask you about Jaylen Waddle. Okay. People are forgetting that Will Fuller and Devontae Parker are still in that receiving core in Miami. And, you know, everybody likes the idea of the Dolphins offense. I like the idea of Tua. I'm not going to say I'm a Tua fan, but I'm not a Tua hater. I think he can get the ball to his playmakers, and he has playmakers. I like Myles Gaskin. I am a fan of Myles Gaskin. You know, Mike Gesicki in the passing game. But, yeah, you know, Will Fuller's still there. Devontae Parker's still there. Jaylen Waddle, you know, everyone's assuming, like, oh, like I said, this Dolphins offense, could he have a second-half resurgence? Do you think it's one of those things where it's a kind of an addition by subtraction thing where Will Fuller kind of goes down and Waddle steps in? Or do you think this Dolphins offense can really support three wide receivers and have enough, and then there would be enough time for Jaylen Waddle to develop into, you know, something productive for a fantasy perspective?
I think so. Just from a talent perspective, I mean, I think that the odd man out there with kind of what we've seen so far is Devontae Parker. I know he's going to be consistent, but if Will Fuller can stay off PEDs, then he, you know, he's had really good seasons before he's kind of gotten in trouble with that in the past. So, I mean, I think that he's probably the most talented in the receiver room, with Jaylen Waddle as a close second, just from being kind of raw with being a rookie. But I don't know that it's going to take all the way till the first half of the season. You know, I think that it's going to be interesting to see how teams manage this extra game once we get kind of down the stretch, especially toward the latter part of the season. But can this offense, you know, support three wide receivers, a running back, and then Mike Gesicki? I think it can, you know, especially with Tua being on record as saying that he didn't really know the playbook last year and was just kind of winging it at times. So, I mean, with another kind of offseason under his belt, with another player that he's familiar with, I think that's going to help him calm down. And I think, you know, with the way that the Dolphins are going, I think it certainly can support all of the fantasy relevant players that we want it to.
All right, let's talk about some dynasty now. Brian, you're our dynasty guru here at Fantasy Frames.
I don't know about that.
Well, you, if you haven't checked out all of his work and all of Teddy's work, and Nate, you just had an article go out today. I mean, we are cranking out articles left and right almost daily, it seems. And I feel like we have like so many in the queue that we're just, you know, one after the other after the other. Head over to fantasyandframes.com, as it says at the bottom of the screen. Check out all of our articles. We have our four-head sleepers, you know, the people who are going to help you win a fantasy football title that you may not have thought of, you know, heading into this season. as well as our four-eyed rookie snapshots. Look, we're breaking down all these rookies that we're talking about and then some, and giving you our honest assessment and analysis of where we think they can fit in from a fantasy perspective for the short term and long term. These guys do a lot of research. It's really well written. Really great stuff over at fantasyandframes.com. So head there today. Also, don't forget to check out our dynasty rankings. Teddy, Brian, and I have those up and running. I'm doing IDP as well. Teddy, are you doing IDP as well?
Or? I did do okay. IDP.
Nice. And I'm sure, Nate, you'll have yours eventually at some point as we head towards the doldrums of the summer. But let's get into dynasty. Let's kind of like do some rankings here from a dynasty perspective. 1, 2, and 3. Out of these wide receivers that we've been talking about during the whole show, who to you, Brian, is the quintessential best from a dynasty perspective?
So I'm going to go Chase Smith Waddle, slightly out of order in the way that they were slightly out of order in the way that they were drafted in real life. But in the order that I have them in my rankings, I know we're talking a lot about some of the same guys in a lot of these questions, but there's a reason for that, right? There's a reason that Chase was drafted 5th and Waddle 6th and Smith 10th. You know, these are standout talents that are, you know, going to contribute to their teams. I think an outside chance at probably number 3 would be Bateman or Rondo Moore.
What about you, Nate?
Yeah, I think the order is, for me, I got to have Chase just 1, just because of, like we said, I mean, the offense is designed to support that, you know, that receiver. Wow. Dynamite analysis, Nate. To support, Jesus Christ. Yes, to support Ja'Marr Chase and multiple receivers. I will say I do think that, personally, I like Elijah Mitchell a lot going forward. It's like Teddy said, perfect, you know, cap casualty if they get rid of Jameson Crowder. If they do, he can come to the Chiefs. That would be a great addition. I would love to see him there. But at the end of the day, I do think that Rashad Bateman is in that. I think I have him at 2. I like, man, I got to look into when is Robbie Anderson a free agent? And that's my question. I know I should supposed to have that in front of me.
After
and
next season. Look, yeah, it is after this upcoming season, yeah.
Okay, and that's what I was thinking. That's why I like Terrace Marshall to step in. And, I mean, I think that you want to talk about a potential sneaky, even though it's not sneaky, he should be mentioned in this top 5, but I feel like he's always the 5th one or 6th one mentioned. And I would move, I'm going to move Marshall as my 3.
Nice. And Teddy, what about you? 1, 2, 3.
So I think they're right with their 1, 2, 3 with a combination of Chase, Waddle, and Smith, however you kind of want to do that. So as Brian introduced earlier, I'm going to go off menu as I do every week. So I'm going to give you my 4, 5, 6. So Elijah Moore is my 4. My 5 is going to be Kadarius Toney, which you can read about in an upcoming Fantasy and Frames rookie snapshot. And my 6 is actually going to be kind of a 3-way tie between Terrace Marshall Jr., where, you know, with the reasons that Nate gave. One other person I want in there is Amari Rodgers, depending on what happens with his buddy Aaron, you know, with his brother from another mother there. And actually, my sleeper of sleepers is Nico Collins down in Houston. Again, another guy that's going to have to see what happens with his quarterback, depending on playing time and stuff. But if you look at the roster around him, a lot of easy names to beat out on that depth chart. So for me, I kind of like, I guess I technically gave you my 4 through 9. So there's my extra credit.
The 4-head fans out there, the more information you have to make decisions in your dynasty leagues, the better. All right, let's stop yanking people's change. Let's get into the second race. The second race.
The 100-yard rush page is giving me a lot of fun. So it's going to be a good little second. Do you have one more question you want to round about just until this? I want to make sure I don't miss anybody.
Well, let me just speak on something that I put out a poll on Twitter yesterday. You know, we only have, I want to say, 13 more spots available for the 4i Championships tournament. And I've noticed, and I think a lot of us have gotten a lot of questions regarding IDP and whether or not, you know, we're going to keep it an IDP tournament, whether we're going to make it an all offense tournament. Look, we like offense. We like defense. We're going to keep it as is. That's what we do. We talk about IDP. We love IDP. We think you'll love IDP if you give it a chance. And let's face it, this is a charity tournament. You know, you don't really have a quote unquote investment in said tournament monetarily. You're doing this to play fantasy football, to take a chance, to gamble, and to hopefully get these charities that you're representing some extra cash during the holiday season. So we recommend that you sign up. You know, like I said, we have 12 spots left. But of course, you know, you never know. There could be some dropouts here and there. So the more people that want to register for this tournament, the better. We thank you very much for everybody who signed up thus far. We guarantee you it's going to be a fun time with your commissioners. We're looking forward to getting everybody signed up, everyone selected, and then the commissioners get to have our own draft where we're drafting who's going to be in our own leagues. Oh. So that's going to be kind of fun on our part. And of course we're going to make everything work out well there. So we're still having some technical difficulties on Nate's end. So let's just carry on with our next question, unless you're good to go.
It's wanting to do it, but it just spinning on the 100-yard rush. And so go ahead, continue on.
Okay, let's just carry on with our next question. All right, let's talk about things from a redraft perspective. We just talked about stuff in Dynasty. Who do we think is going to be a bust or an underperformer? And I guess let me define what I'm trying to say as far as a bust goes. Let's talk about draft capital. NFL capital, not fantasy capital, but NFL draft capital, relative to their fantasy performance, their rookie year. Teddy, we'll start with you. Who do you think could be categorized as a bust out of all these wide receivers we've been talking about today?
I'm going to go with Rashad Bateman in the sense that he is I know that y'all are potentially high on him, but with him being a first round draft pick, there's the sense that he should be an instant contributor. And I agree with Nate or whoever may have said it, that you can't, if you were going to go to Vegas and put money on Sammy Watkins playing a 17 game season, you'd be putting it on no, you know, to kind of ensure your victory there. So, I mean, yes, he doesn't have a lot of people in, you know, a lot in front of him as far as wide receiver depth chart goes. But for me, even if you look at their number one wide receiver, quote unquote, with Marquise Brown, his rookie season, he was wide receiver 46. Last season, he launched up the stratosphere to wide receiver 34. Sarcasm noted. So I don't see this offense as being one that can support two wide receivers. And I think that, yes, Bateman should have a role in this team. I think it opens it up a little bit, but they're still going to be run heavy. And even if Lamar Jackson greatly improves as a passer, I don't think he's going to be somebody that you can count on week to week and feel comfortable plugging into your flex spot, because he's certainly not going to garner a wide receiver spot. So for me, especially with the wide receiver, with the first round kind of draft capital you mentioned, I think if I had to bust, it'd be him.
What do you think about that, Brian?
Well, if you'd like to read a rebuttal to what Teddy just said, you can read my Bateman article on Fantasy and Frames. I'm probably a little more bullish on Bateman than Teddy is. But I'm going to go with Kadarius Toney. He's got real life first round draft capital, but he's a guy who's still learning the position of wide receiver. Only has really had 1 year of production. I mean, he may just be scratching the surface, and he's got a lot of upside. But for 2021, I don't think we're going to see much out of him. And, you know, included in my analysis is the competition that he has on the team. You know, we've got Shepard, Slayton, Galladay, Engram, Saquon, all, you know, looking to get targets. I think relative to NFL draft capital, Tony is your 2021 redraft bust.
So I'm going to kind of deviate from what I said earlier. I know I said he had the best landing spot from a fantasy perspective, but I think our expectations should be tempered a bit for Devonta Smith. And the reasoning is, and the rationale is, nothing crazy spectacular, but let's think about the defenses that are in this division. You look at the Giants, you look at the secondary, how amazing they are, how great they are. Logan Ryan, the veteran, still there. You know, a lot of talent there. James Bradbury, still one of the elite corners in the NFL. You go to Washington and you get, I forget the name of the free agent signing they got from Cincinnati, but he's like a top 10 cornerback in the NFL. So they have, you know, defenses that can match up with wide receivers there. Dallas, okay, is a little suspect, but they did address defensive back in the NFL draft. So you never know what could happen there. You have Keanu Neal there, who's going to be playing at safety, potentially free safety. So that can help in the coverage situation. Dan Quinn's there, and you know he's going to have an aggressive and attacking style of defense. So I'm not so sold on Devonta Smith. And I think the question is, you know, also opportunity. Yes, the volume could be there. The target volume could be there. But is he going to be able to get these receptions? Is he able to convert on these targets with the quality of defensive backs that he'll be facing in the division? I'm a little concerned with that. But his long-term prospects, look, I think he's one of the most talented wide receivers in this draft. His route running is excellent. He may not have all the metrics that you're looking for. You know, a lot of people knock his body weight and his height and his frame, but the guy can run routes like nobody's business. And last time I checked, whether you have any deficiencies in any part of your game, route running is the thing that gets you out of trouble 9 times out of 10. So definitely for the long-term prospects, happy with Devonta Smith, but I wouldn't say you should expect that much from him this season. And we lost Nate. So full disclosure, we were going to have a second race go on right now. And then after that, we'd have the final race to determine who's going to win the Scott Fishbowl spot. Ah, Nate, he's back. Let's see if this works. Okay. Let's see here. Nate Markham.
It works. Yeah. 100-yard rush. Had it in.
No pressure.
It went, well, I mean, it went right there. And then as soon as it shut down, I had to put everybody's name back in. I didn't want to screw this up. So if we're good to go, and oh, I can look, share my screen. Hey.
Hold on 1 second.
Let me fix much this. Better version of.
Yep. yep. Yeah. Brian's
off the rails.
We'll just roll okay. with it.
I'm gonna
we're
roll
just
with it.
We're just gonna go with it. All right, let's share the screen and let's get the second heat underway.
Boom. And I do apologize, everybody. That was really frustrating. I'm glad that my face did not do anything. So Chrome tab there.
Yes, we were glad that your face did not explode into 100 pieces.
It was close, it was very close. So all right, how's that for everyone?
All right, there we go. So let's go back and let's can you go do back
five to times. Randomize five. Or yeah, go back so we can see everybody's name.
Okay.
Yep. Let's just see everybody here.
Unless this breaks your computer.
Nope, it should know.
So confirmed we have 19 people.
Confirmed nice. 19.
So yeah. I got Ricky, Cody Parent, all these people taking place. And of course, if anybody has a Scott Fishbowl spot, we will then, you know, obviously remove you from wherever you finished, and we'll go to the next person until we find a person who does not have a Scott Fishbowl spot. So let's keep going, Nate.
There, we said shuffled five times for this turn.
I said five this time, yeah.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
There we go.
Now, you will notice since we had one of the spots that was in there is a blank. It obviously that person won't win, so it'll be the second, which is nothing. You just have to do somewhat even numbers. I had to sure. eliminate one person who was already entered into Scott Fishbowl, I found out, so didn't want to include that person. If we go to the next page, I'm not doing any better luck adjustment. Advance on. We did
can this. We lower it for Will Evans? I went to college with him. I'd love for him to
Well, it looks like you're getting a bump. So do we do faster or do we stay fast?
Faster. I think we went faster first.
Let's do faster. Let's just make it all right. Uniform.
I made you guys wait so long anyway. Might as well.
Then again, we learned getting off to a super big lead, Kike, doesn't always pay off. So
yeah, that, I'm so disappointed with that.
You got gassed. So all right. So I'm gonna start the rush now.
Yep.
And we're gonna have a countdown. 3, 2, 1.
And
they're off. Oh, David got airy with the
right. Pierre. Will's behind. We're good.
Jake Thompson.
Joe Scott Frankel. Oh God, Will surged. Joe. At the goal line, Jozolo.
Scott Frankel, and looks like Dylan is third.
Oh, Will. That hockey, stamina fading you around the 20.
So who came in fourth here? Fourth was David Gutierrez.
Yep.
We had the no-name guy third.
All right.
Dylan Scorch. So forgive me if I'm screwing over some people here, but I want to say Joe, Scott, and David all have Scott Fishbowl invites.
Well then,
so I'm going to make the executive decision. So if they don't, sorry, but they're just too prominent to not have Scott Fishbowl invites. So I'm going to make the call, and we're going to go down with Dylan Scorish as advancing to the next round, the final round.
Okay,
so I'm going to enter his name here. Scorish. All right, so then let me stop sharing your screen, Nate.
Okay.
And then I'm going to enter my screen. All right, share. All right, folks, this is what it's about. Marty Smith, Dylan Scorish, the winner gets a Scott Fishbowl invite.
It's for all the marbles.
Here, comment if you're here. I feel like y'all probably would have already, but just in case.
All right, so here we go here. Shuffling doesn't really matter.
No,
so.
You do Brian.
What's up?
Brian, how many do you want Brian to
give a number?
Yeah.
My favorite number is four, so let's do four.
There you go.
Okay.
That's perfect because we did three and five.
Here we go. All right, going on to here. Unlock adjustments. No. Faster. Mm-hmm. All right. Are you guys ready?
Let's do this.
All right. Everybody who's listening to this on the podcast, thank you for listening so far this episode. So here we go. Marty Smith, Dylan Scorish. Let's get it on.
Okay. Ooh. 3, 2, 1, go. Oh, the character.
Oh my God, the drama.
They're so slow.
Dylan
is gigantic
going.
Gigantic and slow.
Marty Smith is doing
Dylan
his thing.
Dylan has made the 40.
Marty Smith is catching up.
Marty's got
the other 30.
Dylan is being consistent. Marty's picking up.
Oh, Dylan's slowing.
Dylan is
the 10.
Oh, the quick rush.
Dylan
is
Marty.
No.
Marty Smith.
Dylan,
are you serious?
How do you
what
not
are
even
doing? Marty, the come from behind kid, Marty.
Wow. That was wild.
I thought he crossed the plane. I was like, oh, he's in.
Yeah, I thought he crossed the plane, but I guess he didn't.
He must have spiked the ball before crossing the.
He must have, and then recovered it.
He pulled the DeSean Jackson from back in the day.
That's a victory for Marty Smith.
Wow, no instant replay in the 100-yard rush.
So I'm a little bit relieved because that would have then been a controversial pick if Dylan would have won. But you know what? That's okay because Marty Smith, you are the winner.
VAR replay.
That's VAR.
Exactly.
Wrong football.
Yeah. So you guys, or Marty, excuse me, you are the winner of the Scott Fishbowl ticket. So I will pass along your information to Scott Fish so that you can then sign up and get your spot. For Scott Fishbowl 11, so congratulations. And for everybody there, hey, there's Nate and there's Brian. Ironically, they're on the right side. So thank you very much for listening to Fourth and Frames and watching Fourth and Frames and seeing who we give a Scott Fishbowl ticket to, as well as learning about what we have to say regarding rookie wide receivers. So thank you very much. So for Nate, for Brian, for Teddy, I'm Jorge. Don't forget to go over to fantasyandframes.com and read all of our articles. We thank you for your patronage, and we'll see you next week. Up, oh, faked you out, thought we were gone. Nope. Just a little amendment to this episode. Due to a disqualifying factor, the winner of the Scott Fishbowl spot is Dylan Scorish. So congratulations, Dylan.